Hello and welcome to On Top of PR. I'm your host, Jason Mudd. And today we're going to get behind the curtain a little bit and share with you Axia's earned media process. When I speak and audiences across the nation about earned media and media coverage, people love this visual that we're going to show you. So if you are not connected to a video cast of this episode, that's okay. Stay with us. Listen. We have a visual on our website and on the show notes. So if you go to ontopofpr.com and you click on this episode, you will be able to view the image that goes along with this show today. But thank you for tuning in. You are going to learn a lot about working with the media, media relations, and how to get the most earned media coverage for your topic or your organization based on us revealing and walking you through our earned media process that we use at Axia Public Relations. I'm glad you're here. You'll be glad you're here too. Thanks for watching.
Welcome to On Top of PR with Jason Mudd, presented by ReviewMaxer.
Welcome to another great episode of On Top of PR. I'm your host, Jason Mudd, and today we're doing what's called a solo cast, and you can look for me to do a solo cast where it's just you and me talking one-on-one, no guest, and we do this about every fifth episode. So watch for these solo casts where I want to give away some knowledge or some opinions or some of my experience leading PR teams for, believe it or not, the last 20 years. And I'm really excited today to talk to you about our earned media process, a process we've been developing for about 20 years now. And we're really proud of it, to be candid. And when we show it to companies and clients, they really like it. So I thought we'd spend some time today kind of walking through Axia's earned media process in hopes that it helps you, one, better understand how to work with the media, and two, how to improve and increase your earned media coverage. So whether you are doing PR on your own at a company, or you're working in a department of PR pros, I think our time here today is going to be very valuable to you, and I look forward to going through it with you. So let me just show you real quick what that graphic looks like. And as you'll see here, we've got 18 steps to our earned media process. We originally created this process, several years ago, after some testing and tweaking, as a visual way to show our clients kind of the process for earning media coverage, also to help make sure that our agency is following a very consistent earned media process. And so I'm going to walk you through these 18 steps during this broadcast. Now, if you're catching this as a podcast and you're audio only, don't worry. We'll put in the show notes a link where you can go and find this visual, and you can take a look at that later. If you're watching this while we're doing live or we're doing video, you're going to see it on your screen. So for both audiences, we definitely want to accommodate you fully here. So back to our 18-step process. The first set of steps is called inputs, and the first one is objectives. And this is really where you figure out what are you trying to accomplish through your communication. And that might be that you want to reach a certain audience, you want to persuade a certain audience, but really, what are we trying to do and how are we going to measure that to know if it was successful? The second step is doing research. And so you want to kind of research the market, research the media list, research the topic, research what makes it newsworthy, and also hopefully bring some data or some insights that your research provided you to help tell something, a story that is newsworthy. In addition, in the show notes, we're going to put what we call elements of news and what makes something newsworthy. That's one of our most popular blog posts, so we'll also include that in the show notes just so you can review that in advance of going through this earned media process at your offices. Because it's always good to kind of look at the elements of news and align your communication or your media pitch or your news release or any news materials to as many of those 10 elements of news as long as you're not just kind of stuffing as many newsworthy elements into your story as possible versus genuinely and authentically having good news and newsworthy content to share. So the next set of items in the step is our biggest set, and that's called activities. So there's a lot of activities to this earned media process. And the first one, step number three, is concepts. This is where you start coming up with what are those concepts that would be newsworthy and interesting to the audience. And by the way, when you're thinking about audience, you need to think of the media as both an audience, a channel, and a tool to get your message out there. So when you're doing media relations, it's obviously important to have relationships and to have the newsroom and the news contacts you're talking to be your audience, but they're also ultimately a channel to reach the true audience. Their audience is your audience if you're doing it right. So as you're coming up with the concepts, you want to answer the question of who cares and why do they want to know this? Why is this newsworthy to anybody who's not inside our organization or not doing business with us? How is this newsworthy to the industry at large, to the marketplace overall, to consumers that are going to be consuming this news? So you want to make sure your news concepts there, your pitch concepts, your news story and the concepts around it are both newsworthy and obviously relevant to people who are outside of your four walls. So for example, no one cares that at your company, it's Friday is Hawaiian shirt day and we're going to be having a barbecue. The only people who care about that would be the employees inside your company or those who might want to work there because you've got cool Hawaiian shirt day and barbecues. But that sounds more like something for your employee newsletter, your blog, not for the larger external media, and most importantly, the audiences that they reach and inform and entertain. So similarly, step four is about taking those concepts and turning them into the messages that I identified earlier. Step five is actually drafting a media pitch or a news release or a media advisory or maybe even an op-ed or other type of submitted or ghostwritten article from those messages. Step six is going to be copy editing. That's so important that you send content to newsrooms in the format that they typically run their stories in. A lot of news outlets are going to follow something called AP or Associated Press style, AP style. And that's the pretty much the standard format of language and communication and writing style that most newsrooms prefer and use. There are some exceptions, but if you can get the AP style right, you're probably going to be close enough to most of the idiosyncrasies of each newsroom. At our agency, for example, we know copy editing is so important that we have three copy editors on our team and even one backup if we need her. So copy editing is very important to us. It's something we started doing about 15 years ago, maybe even a little longer. And we have found that this really differentiates us from a lot of other agencies. Most agencies and even cutback newsrooms really lack anyone in a copy editing role. So what you want to do is write your content in a way that literally the editor could copy your news release or your submission and paste it into their website or their CMS or their word processing platform or whatever their workflow is to get a news story from draft to being live. But you know, if you hand deliver it to them, they're going to like you a lot more and be more likely to use it. If it's difficult for them to get the story and it's an uphill battle, then they might walk away and say, no thanks, it's too much work for the relative newsworthiness of the announcement or the content that you're providing to us. So having copy editors really help get past that process. Step seven is part of that process too, of being visual, that process of hand delivering good content, good newsworthy information to a newsroom or an editor or reporter. What we're hearing from reporters, and this is not new data, so I imagine that it's even more relevant today, but about a year or two ago, we discovered reporters were telling us that they have major challenges with getting visuals. They say they spend more time chasing a visual than they do actually writing the story. They spend more time chasing a good visual than they do chasing down sources. Now, all that said, there's even another barrier for them, and that is a lot of newsrooms will not let them submit a story to an editor until they have a visual associated with it. So that's how important a visual is. And you really need to be thinking visually when you're telling your story, when you're pitching your story, when you're submitting your story. Television and video is all about visual, but so is radio. Radio is theater of the mind, which would be a podcast or a audio cast or a traditional radio news show. And so you got to think visual for TV and radio, but also for print or web. A good visual draws in the viewer or the audience. And so a good visual is more likely to draw attention and eyeballs to your story than one that doesn't have visuals. Step 8 is client approval. Obviously, the client and the corporation or the organization needs to approve any messaging that goes out before it goes out. But after it's been drafted properly and followed AP style and copy edited, the approval process should be very easy. It just depends on how well organized the client is or your management team is or whatever the case might be. But hopefully you've got some kind of in-house style guide, like an AP style book for your company, how you word things, how you express things, the nuances, and the elements of style that are important to your organization. And here we go. We're getting into what I think might be the most important steps of our earned media process. Step 9 is about relationships. That is where hopefully you already know the newsroom that you're calling on or that you're pitching. They already know you. You've got good connections within the organization. They look forward to hearing from you. You've built a reputation for having newsworthy content and not bothering them with things like Hawaiian Shirt Day and Barbecue Friday. But instead, they know they can count on you for credible and reliable and insightful news and information, that you know the elements of news, that you've engage them in the past, that you're not just seeking coverage for the sake of coverage and you're not being selfish in that relationship. Now, if you don't have relationships, that's okay. You can get them. It just takes time and it takes diligence and paying attention and putting them kind of first and reading what they're writing about or they're reporting on and engaging them through social media, connecting with them on LinkedIn, commenting on their tweets, commenting on their articles, sharing their articles online and on social media, asking them good questions, offering to be a resource to them when they need one. Come to them with an offering first before you come to them for an ask. I think that's really important. We'll also put in the show notes a link to great ways to build media contacts through social media. I think you'll really like that post that we did. And the step I want to talk about next is step 10 called pitching. And pitching can traditionally and typically takes place by phone. Doing it by phone is not the only way to do it, but we have a phone icon there for step 10 of pitching. I've personally found that if you pick up the phone first and introduce your pitch, and then ask for permission to email them more information, your pitch is going to stand out. It's going to stand out a lot more from all the other emails, unsolicited emails and pitches that they get. Speaking of, I think it's important to remind you that I've seen reports that for every one news story a reporter or newsroom does, they receive at least 10, maybe even 100 other options or other pitches. It's a very competitive landscape. So you've got to really sharpen your axe and sharpen your pen and come in with bring your A game to the table for this conversation. It's so important. And so you might pitch them by phone or by email or through a direct message on social media. There's many, many ways to initiate that pitch, but I just highly recommend picking up the phone first. Even if you leave a voicemail, when they finally check that voicemail, they might go back and check the email you sent them later, or they might go back from that email to listen to your voicemail later. It's kind of like a 1-2 punch that really helps get the word out there. I think that's really important and a nice way to do it. We've seen more success when we actually ask permission first to send a pitch or a news release or a submission. And to be candid, if they don't get back to you, I would say still send it, but give them a reasonable amount of time to respond to your original pitch where you ask for permission. And then I would just kind of accept implied permission if they don't get back to you. But then if they do take the time to get back to you, then you really know you know, a better opportunity, or you've warmed up the table. It's now a warm pitch instead of a cold pitch. So I just recommend that. But real quick, let's take a quick break, and we'll come right back on the other side after this quick announcement.
You're listening to On Top of PR with your host, Jason Mudd. Jason is a trusted advisor to some of America's most admired and fastest growing brands. He is the managing partner at Axia Public Relations, a PR agency that guides news, social, and web strategies for national companies. And now, back to the show.
Okay, so welcome back. So we just walked through the first 10 steps of the earned media process. Now I want to jump right into step 11, which is called distribute or distribution. This is where you've gone ahead and you've pitched your story. You've asked for permission to send it. Whether or not they've come back and said yes or no, now you're going to send it to them. And this is an important step. Obviously, this is mostly done through email. You know, when I was very early in my career, we were faxing releases, maybe even mailing them or couriering them. And then early in my career, the first years, you know, I had email, but the agency I worked at didn't yet have it. Or there was one computer we could share that could do email. And then soon after, it started becoming available to everybody in the organization. And now email is the primary way to distribute media content or news releases and pitches. So you want to make sure you've got a really good media list, as I mentioned earlier. That should be done during kind of the research stage. You can subscribe to software to get media lists, or you can do the DIY homework of just kind of surfing the web and looking at the news outlet and then trying to see if they list an about page that has a roster of the newsrooms and the contacts there, and the beats they write, and their email addresses. But if you're going to do this at any volume, you really have to have a media database, which is going to cost you thousands of dollars a year to subscribe to. I see a big mistake clients make is they buy a media database thinking they're going to use it, and then they realize there's no one there to use it. And it just like, you know, Microsoft Word, it doesn't work by itself. You've actually got to type in and do the work. So it might be a word processing software or a media database, but unless there's an operator to use it on a regular basis, it's just not going to work. Step 12 is post, and this is, we're referring here to posting on a newswire, like PR Newswire, or Business Wire, or many of the other newswires that are out there. I highly recommend paid newswires, commercial newswires, to post your press release or news release to when you have the budget for it. Now, you won't always have the budget, and maybe not all announcements are worthy of posting to a newswire. But to me, it's the cherry on top. So if you can't afford it, do everything else in this process. If you can't afford it or you can justify it, put the cherry on top. But the cherry on top doesn't mean that the dessert isn't great or that the earned media process isn't great. So I tell clients all the time, look, I love putting things on PR Newswire or Business Wire. But if you can't do it, that's okay. And if your dollars are short, then I would spend more time on steps 10, 11, and 13 and just skip right on ahead, like, you know, pass go. I would just pass by posting on a wire, although the wires do have value and they do have a place, especially if you just want to go more directly to consumers. Because contrary to popular belief, when you post something to a commercial newswire, while it might go to newsrooms, a lot of newsrooms aren't standing by waiting for a story because, like I said, they're already getting pitched at least 10 times the amount they're already doing. So they're not sitting around waiting for something to pop up on the wire, the commercial newswire at least. Unless you're Disney or Tesla or General Motors or Amazon or Microsoft, or some kind of major consumer brand that there's a dedicated writer at multiple outlets who are tracking everything that company's doing as a beat writer for them. But for the most part, people watching this video, you're not a household brand, at least not yet. And there's not somebody sitting around waiting for you to breathe and to have a barbecue and to announce every little thing that they're going to write about. Moving on to step 13, again, this is probably the most important step. So I've already said one of the most important steps is 10. 13 is also going to be a big one. 9 and 10 are important. So is 13. 13 is follow-up. And in this process, we really haven't broken down what we think to be our best practice of how to best follow up. But it's a multi-step process. We have found hands down that the squeaky wheel gets the grease, that follow-up is so important. We've had journalists say no, or more often just no response at all to our pitch. But we've believed in our pitch. We believe that we're targeting the right contact. We believe that this is a story for their audience. And we've just kind of gently and professionally used balance ambition to follow up and stay on top of them and just keep nudging them and reminding them about the story. And oftentimes when you do it right, the reporter will, or editor will say, thank you. Thank you for following up. I was busy. Thank you for staying on top of this. I had some other things I had to do, or I couldn't get to it yet, but I liked it and I wanted to do it. Now, some might respond and say, hey, I'm just not interested, or the timing's not right, or this isn't the right story for me, or I just don't care about that topic. And you just have to learn how to roll with those things. But following up is very important, and I would push through and stay on top of it. But we celebrate follow-ups and persistency at our agency, because so many times we've seen where, you know, that third, fourth, fifth, or even sixth follow-up is when it really pays off. And I imagine, just like in sales, they say most people stop after the first or second follow-up. And I imagine that's what happens with media pitching also. I make the comment, and it's not always popular, but pitching media is very similar to doing sales, because you have to have a great product. You have to have an audience that's interested, or a buyer that's interested, and you've got to make it relevant to them and what they want to know and what they want to do, not about you. You want to help them have the opportunity to fix their problem. You want to help a journalist be able to tell a great story by, again, pre-packaging it and handing it off to them. Step 14 is interview. And sometimes interviews don't happen, especially if the news story is about a product or a solution. You really don't need to quote somebody. So we did work with an inventor who invented a product, and people were fascinated by the product. They weren't really interested in the engineering behind it and the conceptualization and the story of how he invented it. They just wanted to talk about the product. So, you know, we agreed. We were surprised how few of interviews we actually ended up doing for so much media coverage that we were able to get. But I think it goes back to number 7, having a strong visual to go with that story, tying in elements of news that made the product itself and the solution itself extremely newsworthy. But there were occasional interviews. And I always tell people, you go see a movie about the characters and the plot and the story and overcoming the odds and the perseverance and the personalities. You don't go see a movie because it's about a building or a product or an entity, you know, legal corporation or a corporation name or a corporate building or overhead. But the story is always about the people. So it's very important that you do find that story and you tell that story within your pitch, within reason, and doing so, you know, very efficiently. And there are ways to do that. I won't be able to get into it in this solo cast today, but I think it's important that you really think about how to be a great storyteller and how to tell stories. And I'll try to do that in a future solo cast as well. So now we are at step 15, and step 15 is about monitoring. Monitoring the media, looking for when the media is going to cover your story or when it already has covered your story. You're also going to want to monitor the media to see what media queries they're putting out there, what kind of media cover story, what kind of stories the media is looking to do. And you also just want to see what the reporters and contacts you're pitching, what are they covering anyway that's related or tangential to what you're doing, so that you might be able to pivot your story and ride the coattails, or what some people call newsjacking, into that story in space. Step 16 is clipping and sharing the coverage. So obviously you're monitoring for the coverage. Once you get it, you want to clip it and you want to share it. And then we move on to the last set in our process is called outputs. So step 17 is measure, and step 18 is called report. So step 17, you want to measure your earned media coverage, or how much news coverage did you get? How much content was developed around this story? This could be measured by vanity numbers like number of articles, number of mentions, how high up you were quoted in the article, what percentage of what we call media signal. So what percentage of the article was about your company or your expert and your story versus the other parts of the story, which quoted other sources or mentioned other brands or talked about other things. You know, was your company name part of the headline? Was your company name or your expert that was quoted or spokesperson in the first half of the article or in the lead of the article? Now, journalism is changing very rapidly. I'm not always sure that it's progressing the way we would all like to see it, but good journalism, at least when I was in journalism school and early in my journalism career, always sourced at least three independent sources for every story that you wrote or that you put out there. And nowadays, it's not as required to do that so much. But you should kind of think about that there you'll probably have to share the stage or the story with three other individuals or three other organizations. Sometimes you can help kind of navigate that. Like I said earlier, you know, hand deliver the story. So you might tell a reporter or a producer, hey, I'd like to, you know, help you with this story. Here's some of my comments. I can also help bring in this person or connect you with that person who could fill out the story for you. They will love that. They will thank you so much for doing that. And then step 18 is obviously report. Produce some kind of report either for your boss, your client, the C-suite, your leadership team, or just creating an annual document where you're just tracking the media coverage. But you obviously want to report on what's been done. Now, if you can make 17 and 18 more sophisticated, and we could do another broadcast about that, but if you want to make your measurement more sophisticated, the best thing I would say is you got to start with some research. You got to align with the business goals and objectives, and then bolt on communications goals and objectives that align with those. And then that way you really can show real results and real impact, because, you know, KPIs and vanity metrics like visibility and eyeballs reached and number of articles and what was your media signal in each of those articles, as well as, you know, some people even do advertising value equivalency or AVE, which is, you know, really frowned upon. It is a measure that you can use, but it's not really material overall. So, you know, there are several different ways you can measure and report PR. That's a whole nother big conversation that I would love to dive in with you in the future. So thanks for watching or listening. Check out our earned media process that we visually walked you through here and the show notes, resources, and links that we provided. But from this session today, we've identified a few different topics that we can do in a future cast, and I'm really excited to share those with you. I hope you enjoyed this earned media process walkthrough as much as I enjoy giving it, as much as many of our clients and prospective clients and industry contacts really like seeing it. I presented this at a few conferences to PR professionals, and they really like it. And my team really likes it also. And like I said, we're not giving away all the trade secrets here, but we're really giving away a nice workflow or process or system that you can use with whatever you're doing at your company as well. So I hope it was helpful. Please feel free to comment, share this episode with others, make a comment of other episodes you'd like to see us do. But I hope you'll use this and certainly reach out to us if we could ever be helpful in this effort and in this regard. Otherwise, be well, and thanks again for watching.
This has been On Top of PR with Jason Mudd, presented by Review Maxer.